Hey, so for those of you who may not know me, my name is Carrie Lemoy. I'm one of the co-chairs for the BC Edu Task Force. I'm on my own today. Kim is out sick and Anthony wasn't able to join us. So I will be your host for today. So I started the recording. I'm just going to review the agenda and start with the IP note for the W3C, which is that anyone can participate in these calls. However, all contributors to any of the work items, any contributors must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements that are signed. You need to ensure that you have a W3C account and that you've signed the licensor agreement. So for anybody who's unsure what that means, I'm going to put that in the chat for you right now. Okay. So all of these minutes, and there's minutes that are taken during this meeting, and there'll be an audio recording of everything that is said. And these are posted at the meeting's URL at some point after the call. So typically within a day or so after the call. We use chat and IRC to queue speakers. So please type Q+ to add yourself to the queue. If you know what you'll be speaking to, you could always say Q+ and then two and then the topic. Q- to take yourself off the queue. Just wait for your turn when you get called in the queue. My least favorite thing to do right now is to look for a scribe. So before I go through the scribe list, is there anybody who volunteered to be our scribe today? The least favorite part of all of these meetings is at least.
Carrie, I can. This is Dimitri. I can do the second half of the call if somebody wants to pick up the first.
Oh, that would be great. Does anybody volunteer to do the first half of the call? Can you describe? Yeah, I'm going to just say some names here and see if anybody is here. James Chartrand. Jim Kelly. Phil Barker.
I'm here. What does scribing involve?
Scribing involves saying the person's name and then sort of encapsulating what they said. It doesn't have to be exact, just trying to get the point of what they're saying. So if someone reads the minutes, they know what that person is referring to.
And do you have a particular tool or format that you do it in?
We just do it in the chat, either in the IRC chat or in the chat in Jitsi.
It would be the Jitsi chat because I'm not on IRC.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to try it out for
half an hour
and then Dimitri will take it over?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Dimitri, will you let Phil know when you can take over?
Sure, we'll do. And one other tip, so it's normally name, colon, and what they said. But if you're continuing what they said, you can just do three dots. So it'll be like Dimitri, blah, 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 and then hit return. And next, if Dimitri's continuing to talk, you can say three dots, space, and then continue. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, thanks.
I'm going to do one right now. Dimitri. Like that.
Okay.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. All right, let's get started here. So first, introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new on the call today that would like to introduce themselves? So can you put yourself in the queue with the Q+? We have everybody here. Hey, any reintroductions? Anybody who has anything new they'd like to tell us or any changes, anything you'd like to share with the group before we get started?
I'd like to do a reintroduction just in case.
That'd be great. Please do, Dimitri.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dimitri Zagadoulin. I'm a software engineer working in the credentials and decentralized identity space. I do a lot of work with Digital Bazaar. and doing work with MIT's Digital Credentials Consortium for Kim Duffy. Now that Kim Duffy is moving on to other blockchain projects, I'm stepping in to help lead the Learner Wallet project for DCC. So looking forward to working more with all of you.
Thank you, Dimitri. Would anybody else like to make a reintroduction? Okay. So I only have one announcement here today, which is that this week is the Open Skills Summit. I'm going to put a link to the chat. Some of you folks, if you're not signed up today, you may be interested in going. It is Wednesday and Thursday. There are 3-hour sessions on each day. It's free to attend. The opening keynote on Wednesday is Gina Raimondo, who is the first woman governor of Rhode Island, which is where I'm from. And I'm participating in a tech panel in the afternoon toward the last hour of Wednesday. So please join us if you can make it. It would be really great for you to learn about what's going on in the rich skill descriptor work. And the only other update that I have for you before we get to Marty, who I think is here. Marty, are you here today?
I am.
Awesome. Great. So I just have a brief update. So last week we talked about the Open Badges 3.0 proposal, and on Thursday we presented it to the working group at IMS for Open Badges. And the presentation went very well. There are a lot of great questions. Manu Sporni attended to, give positive support about using VCs with open badges. And the next step right now has been suggested that the open badges project group at IMS meet with the CLR project group at IMS on August 5th at their next meeting to talk more about, if and how there can be some alignment done in terms of VCs and these specs. So that's where it stands right now. So we'll have more updates in a couple of weeks. All right. So lastly, why don't I introduce Marty? So Marty Reed is here from Randa, and Marty is going to do the bulk of our presentation today. So we thought that Marty and Phil and Anthony, and I think both Phils, Phil Barker and Phil Long, is that true? I think everyone has been meeting about complex credentials. So we've been focusing on more single credential use cases over the past couple of months. And this group has been meeting and discussing complex credentials, and Marty was going to give us an update today on what they've been discussing and what that looks like from that perspective, because this is something else we need to address as part of the modeling for VC Edu. So Marty, I'm going to hand this over to you, and I'll keep an eye on the queue if any questions come up. Would you like me to interrupt you if questions come up, or would you like to just finish your presentation?
Questions throughout are fine. And actually, Phil Long is going to kind of kick us off and provide everybody's screen first off.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And we can hear Phil. Yes.
Yep, I'm here.
Perfect. Hi, Phil. Great.
So just to give a slight bit of context about the complex credentials, we've been doing a lot of work around, as Randa, in collaboration with a number of states, Lifelong Learner Project, lots of different pieces of parts. And we found some kindred spirits in this group, being the work that Anthony is doing, the work that Phil Barker is doing, and others. So I'll hand it over to Phil and kind of provide the foundation of what we're going to talk about today.
Thanks, Marty. And you'll see on the cover, this is the group that's been assembling some of the people who could come in a little bit recently, but that's been the group so far. And if I've forgotten anybody, my apologies. Next. So we started with a problem statement. How do we represent the complexity of real-world credentials used in education, licensure, and other domains in a format that's usable, conforms to general expectation of the user community for whom they serve, and can pragmatically scale? And we decided to do this kind of as a bookend to the work that has been underway in the VC Edu starting from a simple credential and building out to greater complexity, like taking something that was a credential, a couple of credential, existing credential types that are complex, and breaking those down in their complexity and approaching it, looking sort of from that point, to the decomposition side of things. Next. So we looked at starting questions like, what parts of the payload of a complex credential need to be signed? Not everything necessarily needs to be signed, depending on the intended functional use of that credential. Where do they need to live? Is it all in the data model that we're defining, or is it possible or reasonable to put pieces of the credential out in some other storage location that's pointed to, simply to make it easier for those to be either able to contain things of size, for example, evidence, or other sorts of things? How do we preserve the learner worker agency in all of this, so we don't end up with the learner and worker with a credential wallet with features to assemble things and there's nothing to assemble? And finally, what are the expectations of the issuer? There are some issuers that really want to keep everything that they issue in a package. Some of that is because economically, in some of the anchored blockchains, the cost of verification can get high as the number of individual elements signed need to be proofed. Others, they simply have in the past always included everything from the particular institution in a package, and there's a, you know, a natural tendency to want to continue that path, even if there are options that have emerged. Okay, next slide. So we need to satisfy the issuers, holders, and verifiers from each of the lenses that they represent as an element of this problem space. Next. So we decided to focus on the complex creds and two particular instances of that, those kinds of credentials that are associated with licensure and those kinds of credentials that are associated with a more traditional, if you will, academic context, but using the framework of something different than many of us in the U.S. are familiar with on a daily basis, and that's the EU diploma supplements, as those are, much like in the U.S., the sort of basic way, the basic format by which credentialed courses and qualifications are exchanged among institutions for individuals. In the case of the diploma supplements, we looked at existing solutions that were there, and the existing solution that is there at the moment is the CLR with the OCP, the Open Credential Publisher. And we use that not because we're suggesting that's an answer, but rather it's what currently exists. And by looking at that, it tells us something we hope about where this evolution of the CLR and the OCP or things like it might need to go to make the VC intentions both simpler and clearly represented. Next slide. So I'll turn it over to Marty. This is an outline for Marty to take it from here on the CLR for those that are less familiar with that. Marty?
Thank you. Thanks, Phil. So the CLR, we've talked a lot about it. It's you know, a more complex structure than a badge, because it has multiple layers. So the CLR being that kind of high level set of it's a group of assertions about a learner. It has the concept of an achievement, which in our use case, kind of using the diploma supplement as example, the achievement is the diploma itself. And then you have alignments where you can leverage things like case, you can leverage things like credential engine, all the opportunities to relate to, you know, an external educational framework. Then the assertion itself is actually the attestation by the issuer about the learner regarding that achievement. So it can include evidence, results, and other metadata. Then you have the issuer, the organization that has made that assertion about the learner, and then the learner itself. So Phil Barker took the diploma supplement and broke it down in this way, where the diploma supplement has two major components of it, one being the related credential, which is actually the diploma itself that holds the issued by data, and then the subject and the claims related to that subject. So the courses, as they relate to the matriculation of a person. And then, so the way that this is, again, one interpretation. So, definitely guidance and feedback, and comments on this are absolutely welcome. This is just kind of spaghetti on the wall of, hey, if we had to take that and put it into the CLR, how would that look? So the achievement and at context has been removed from this slide just for convenience and really trying to get everything on the screen. The achievement is the diploma itself. So it's the definition of the diploma, the, you know, level, the narrative associated with that diploma, and the issuance of a diploma. So a very high level statement. This is a diploma. Then the assertions, for example, an assertion would be that diploma being awarded to the individual. So you have the diploma itself, and then you would have, you know, course relationships as well. So the top level, ID in this achievement, for example, is the reference to the achievement itself. This is the assertion of that achievement. But then the ID of the achievement for a course would be the same. And the identity of that assertion would be different, but the achievement ID is actually the parent or the related to, credential. And I think that's kind of where we stop, as far as this. And then I'll just show from, you know, again, this is just an example, but the Open Credential Publisher interpretation of this is that you have the achievement, again, that being the definition of the diploma, the issuer of that diploma, and the result that it has been issued. And then you have the assertion, which is the detail of the diploma itself, the evidence of the diploma, so basically the serial number of that diploma assertion. And then you also have courses at that same level also as assertion. So you can have one or many courses within this framework as assertions.
From multiple institutions.
From multiple institutions, right. So the way that this can be, then you can also have those other institutions, you would have an achievement as related to that other institution, and then the assertion of that institution.
I see some questions in the chat.
Yeah, I believe this is Carrie. Let me see who was in order. Was it Nate first?
I think so. Apologies if I got that wrong, but I think so.
Is it ACK? You had to, nope. How do you see who is in the queue? Does anyone know that code?
Yes, it's Q question mark.
Thank you. All right. I will get this at some point. Dimitri's first and then Nate.
Oh, Dimitri's first.
Sorry, this is old. I forgot to take myself off. Oh. That was from reintroduction.
Oh, then sorry. All right, Nate, please.
Great. So for after the presentation, I wanted to ask about use cases for bundling assertions that are individually verifiable. Is that all assertions that are in this idea of a complex credential? Is it some assertions? Is it none assertions? And if it is desired to have this capability to, you know, bundle assertions that are individually verifiable, What does tearing the content of the assertion up into these different like achievement array versus the assertion array, what does that do for verifiability of something that is cryptographically signed?
So that's a great question, Nate. And we've thought a lot about that. And one of the challenges that we've found from a cryptographic standpoint is the, both the efficiency or the requirements of the different cryptographic chains, how they sign individual, how they sign credentials, right? And so the way that we currently interpret that is that we package all the assertions. So if the CLR is packaged from the original issuer with all the assertions within it, and then that is signed on behalf of that issuer to the blockchain as a single credential. And the reason for that is because the requirements of schema and definition, sovereign being the use case example, that you would have to almost provide a new definition every time that the number of assertions changed. And so that then becomes very expensive over time. And so the way for this, the entire CLR assertion is a single credential. And then that is signed, that one object is signed cryptographically. And then you can consume the entire object into a system that understands CLR. There is
so the you're saying is that there is not the capability to embed multiple signed credentials into one complex credential?
That's not what I'm, no, you can just, actually, go ahead, sorry.
This is Phil. I just want to say, no, I think what he was just saying is that you can combine a number of different assertions, including from a number of different issuers, into one credential and sign that. And the external forcing factor here is the economics of that process based on the methods by which the chosen blockchain environment imposes its costs and fees. So you can certainly can do that. You could also, as Marty will describe in a minute, I think, you can also sign the individual components of it and do it that way, but it gets to be really large as a consequence. Marty?
Yeah, so there's two kind of thought processes around that. One is the idea of, you know, and BBS Plus actually solves for this definition problem. In the fact that you can sign the entire package, then you sign every assertion, but BBS Plus allows you to then assert that package in partial ways. But we haven't implemented that or seen that yet. But that's one solution. And then the other is this idea of a verifiable presentation and how that relates to, you know, asserting multiple credentials in a presentation, how is that interpreted on the consumer side? So those things have just not been fleshed out in our implementation. And so, you know, as we've mentioned before, this has not been elegant, but it is timely. And so we kind of focus with the next stages of our interpretation of this will be implementation of BBS Plus, which then allows for that more dynamic set of assertions in a single credential. Let's see.
Terry? This is Terry. Yep, I am next in the queue.
Yep.
Could you compare your implementation to how LERs are implemented? Sure, not everybody here has been on the IEEE calls, and we haven't really discussed the comparison of the two yet. We started out probably like in the spring talking about LER and how we got to single credentials from there. So could you make the comparison between the two for us?
Yeah, hang on one second. Let me see if I can find that one. Well, the way that LER is like, it's a signature and an issuer assertion of a credential or some set of credentials. But that credential or set of credentials is not necessarily signed. But the entire assertion is. So what we've done is we've kind of both anded it, which is we signed the CLR. The issuer signs the CLR, and then all the individual assertions are signed as well. They're not, then it's up to kind of the holder wallet as far as how they then send those assertions on to a verifier. So it's kind of both and then if the OCP wants to repackage assertions, then that's actually a self-published assertion, or a self-published credential being a set of those assertions that have been signed by the issuer.
Perfect. I think we have, Nate is next in the queue.
Cool. Sorry to jump back on. You had an interesting point about BBS Plus, which would allow individual claims essentially to be proved without the requirement that the holder present the entire complex credential. That's interesting, but it sounds like to me that that would only cover use cases where all of the individual assertions within the complex credential are asserted by the same issuer. And one of the use cases, I'm not trying to critique any particular implementation of this idea. I'm trying to understand what the scope of the use case is of that the complex credentials group was trying to look at. Is a complex credential a bundle of multiple credentials from multiple issuers, or is it one single credential from one single issuer that happens to describe a number of achievements that cannot really be broken out further? Where do you desire to get with this technology?
Well, I think so. Great point, because we have still yet to truly define that as far as the complex credential work group goes. We haven't, you know, this diploma supplement was a really nice kind of use case to work through. It doesn't have necessarily the multiple issuers in it. So I think that's yet to be determined, Nate. You know, my hope, especially from the ideas of licensure or the ideas of some of the other areas that we've looked at with this complex credential, is that we do solve for that, in which case BBS Plus, you could use it, but it would be a self-asserted credential, and that's where you then fall into the is a verifiable presentation. Or is it actually a credential? And then within all of this is the last mile problem, which is how do verifiers want to receive this data? And our original supposition was a verifier wants a credential because they understand that. They may not, and then listening to Ori, that every credential should be delivered via a presentation, no matter what, it seems like that you have to use a verifiable presentation with one or many credentials. So there's still a lot to be learned here. This was the first kind of, let's take a use case and let's do something with it. So lots to be learned still. One thing I do think is important, just to kind of backtrack a little bit. In other implementations, we have samples of an open badge as an assertion. And so the alignment of the CLR and the open badge work, I think, should overlap here in the VCEDU work.
Thanks, Murray. Next we have Phil P1 in the queue.
Sure. And I will, in some sense, I hope queue up Phil Barker in this as well. But the diploma supplement model does frequently include assertions from multiple institutions in the EU, given the Bologna Accord, a credential in this case, the example was an Austrian credential in geography, could well have a number of courses from other institutions in the EU as part of the diploma. And so so this use case does in fact have to deal with the ability of the presentation or of the credential that's constructed, I should say, to properly reflect that. So that's one thing. And I want to point out that part of the challenge that's being addressed here is that the CLR as a framework doesn't have the concept of a presentation in the way that the VC does. And so one of our challenges is to figure out how we, or should we, in my view, I think the presentation concept is really important, particularly from the perspective of agency of a holder, that there needs to therefore be a look at things like the CLR or other models to see how those things can be brought together and that the concept of the presentation preserved. And I'll stop there.
Thanks, Phil. Oscar, I believe you're next.
Thanks. A key component of the CLR is the association, which basically identifies the relationships between the achievements. So was representation of associations part of this model?
No, Oscar, but that is a good point.
Okay, thanks, Marty.
Thank you. And yeah, I mean, the person that should be speaking about the CLR is not me. It's definitely Oscar, being the chair. So Oscar, I'd love your reflection while you have the floor.
Sure. I mean, I think, last week, we discussed how a single credential can be represented in the Open Badges work group. So here we're trying to represent multiple credentials. I think the work there is definitely useful. I think we should take that work and, think about how we can use that work and represent multiple credentials in the same structure. And the only key component missing there, once we figure out how to support multiple credentials of a single credential, then the only component missing is the associations. So once we address the associations too, I think we have a path from representing the model Kerry and Nate suggested can be moved into CLR that supports multiple credentials and associations in between them.
Thank you. Dimitri, you're next.
Sure. And I think what I wanted to say has been already covered by a couple of commenters, but I did want to just reiterate that's specifically what the verifiable presentation is for. To bundle credentials from different issuers into a sort of a logical unit, both when a wallet or a holder is asking for those credentials from an issuer or when they're presenting that bundle to the verifier. That's exactly what the VP is for.
That's true. Thank you, Dimitri. I think I might be next, actually. Let's see. Oh no, Phil Barker.
Yeah, I did just want to build on what Phil Long said about how the diploma supplement might include the information that a subject has attended courses at multiple institutions. And one way of dealing with that is to say that the diploma supplement has a single issuer. You know, it is issued by whoever issues the diploma supplement, but it contains information from other institutions who are not the issuer of the diploma supplement. Now, presumably the issuer of the diploma supplement has some reason for trusting that the subject has attended those courses. And you know, that could be based on simple verifiable credentials that were made by the institutions that provided those courses and saw that the individual attended them, or it may be based on some other trust model. So, you know, I think one approach to the idea of multiple issuers is to, you know, ask whether they really are issuers of the credential or whether they just provide information that's contained in the credential but don't issue it.
Yeah, that is a good point. Marty, do you have any response to that?
Yeah, well, so, again, kind of the implementation, each assertion in this context is its own verifiable credential. And then the entire package is a VC as well. That makes a very bulky, complex credential. We recognize that, but it also solves for Phil Parker's problem, whereas the PLR is the assertion or is the credential on behalf of that issuer. So North Dakota being that example. And then each assertion is the, is a verifiable credential signed on behalf of the district. So you have two different kind of signatures, but that way you can then assert both in the same context.
That's a good point. Marty, I appreciate how hard it is to try and fit one of these assertions into a PowerPoint. And I was wondering if you have like a JSON file that we could all look at some point that you could share with us or yep. some other way where we could all look at the whole thing.
Yep, absolutely. And what's the best way to share that out?
Wherever it's hosted at the URL, I think would be fine. If you could put it somewhere for us.
Okay.
That'd be awesome. I had another question though. Well, actually two, if you don't mind. One is, there's this concept with CLRs of an issuer and a publisher. And could you describe the differences between the two?
I might toss that ball to Oscar.
Oscar, would you mind taking that ball and running with it?
Sure. The issuer is basically is able to have the credentials to create that credential, and the publisher is just displaying and providing an environment for it to be online, basically. So publisher is the tool. And the issuer is, for instance, that the university that creates that credential.
So in a verifiable credential, and if we were doing a VC version of the CLR, what would it be? Which one would it be? Would it just be the issuer?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, sure. If in the concept of a verifiable credential, would you still have both the publisher and the issuer? Like how would the roles be different than the issuer of a verifiable credential?
We would need both. We would need both. So, for instance, AFIS is a CLR software, right? AFIS can be the publisher software for credentials that have been issued by multiple institutions. So as a learner, I received my credentials from different issuers, and all of these credentials have been moved to a specific environment where it's published. So in that sense, as a learner, I can arrange the credentials that I achieved over my lifetime, and then bundle only a few of them and publish them. Then I am the publisher. So if that makes some more, if that gives some more context.
You know, thank you. I'm going to queue up Phil, who may have some things to say about this too.
thank you. Well, I think one of the things that you hear from Oscar's comment is that it is, in some sense, it's the way in which the concept of the presentation has been interpreted for the CLR environment, because anything that is assembled other than directly from the issuer is in the CLR world a self-published credential, and in the context of a presentation, there is, I mean, it's clear that in the context of a VC presentation, a verifiable presentation, that the assembly of those different things is the work of the holder and their wallet. But they retain the issuer's signatures so that the authenticity of those things is guaranteed. And so it's kind of enabling the notion of presentations without necessarily the full notion of a wallet. And at the time that the CLR was built, I'm not sure that there were that many wallets out there. So it may simply be a historical decision. Oscar, you may comment on that, but I think there's a clarity in the use of the presentation that is achieved because of the capabilities of what are emerging for services from wallets, and that is to our benefit to try to leverage.
And I'll jump in there. And yes, the verifiable presentation is very, very interesting. I just haven't seen it implemented, and so this is kind of what we had to do in the moment. But at the same time, it'll be interesting to see as that presentation really gets fleshed out with the VCHTP API group and what's going on there, to see, you know, exactly how that verifiable presentation is interpreted from the verifier point of view. Again, I kind of go back to, we have to meet the market where it's at and then iterate forward. And so that's the, you know, foundational, logic of this approach.
Great. The queue is empty. See if anyone else wants to join the queue. In the meantime, I have a question. What do you think is the next step in your thinking about complex credentials and in VCs? What will you be working on next?
Well, I think from a work group standpoint, digging in a little bit more to the verifiable presentation, has to be explored so we can understand the application and how it relates to this use case. I think we will, my hope is that we continue on with the diploma supplement, use case and really prove that out, because it's such a substantial use case and it brings an international perspective into, you know, what some have seen as a very US centric, deployments. Yeah. So I think the hope there is, hey, we've got this perfect use case from an international perspective. If we can get that right, then the US use case, is kind of already somewhat fleshed out. Those are some of the workflows that I think have to occur next. But we have had a lot of, spirited debate, around, the multiple issuer problem and the complex credential and the economics, should not be dismissed as far as what the, cryptographic signing requirements and credential construction, cause in an open source world. They can be conflicting. Is that?
Yeah, I could hear that. Phil, would you like to go?
Yeah, just the other thing I would say is that I think that the work that you and Nate have done in terms of thinking through the credential in the context of a single assertion badge, and how that atom is, how that might be leveraged as a core element of a multiple assertion environment is something we should take into equal account, because I think it gives a way to start for those institutions that are issuing credentials and there is only one issuer involved, which is often the majority of the use cases in the U.S. And if we can then marry that with the cases where there is an external issuer, that would broaden it to be able to cover the variations that are prominent in the EU and Asia and other places where there's more consortial collaboration across issuing entities on behalf of the students. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Oscar?
I would like to support Phil's idea. I think it's a natural path to finalize a single credential, and the multiple credentials should simply be based on that structure. And I think it also makes adoption easier. Both the open badges and the CLR communities then can come together, and it's a single pathway to adoption too. And as I mentioned, once we handle the multiple credentials use case, adding the association support would kind of be straightforward, and it would be it would unite the two structures well together.
Great, thank you. Let's see if there's anyone else here. Marty.
Yeah, I just, I also want to, you know, third that, support for, the work that, you know, Concentric Sky, Nate, Carrie have done around the open badge and that structure. And I think it well aligns with, you know, this complex use case. And so the work streams, you know, inform each other very well. So, you know, there's 43 million, you know, badges been issued. We have 19 million more complex credentials in our systems. And so, so I think there's definitely market, need for both, but I think both of them aligning well and informing each other is really the way to Oscar's point of adoption and interoperability.
Thank you. Any other questions? Okay. I'm just looking at the time here. So I'm thinking about, first of all, thank you, Marty and Phil and everybody for your questions. It's good to see all of this and appreciate you doing this work and informing all of us about it. I was wondering if folks have ideas about what they would like next Mondays or the next few Mondays topics to be. Because we don't have anything queued up just yet. So I was wondering if anybody has something specifically they would like to focus on, that we would do that. So if you want to put that in the chat, that would be great. I'm also just going to put my email address in the chat, and you can email me directly with ideas that you have, and we can get some of those queued up. Also, it may be possible, we may be considering changing when our meeting is, because Anthony has trouble making this time, and he's one of our chairs, but not until possibly like mid to end of August. So more about that, our next call, some ideas about that. That's all that I have for this call today, unless anybody wants to discuss anything else. We have about 7 minutes left. And if anyone has anything, feel free to take the cue and run with it. Marty?
Just my note in the chat. I really think whenever I first joined this VCED work group and Kim's work around defining use cases and bringing use cases forward, I think revisiting that would be super valuable, because I think the entire population, the entire group here has matured in this thinking, and bring that back forward and then actually developing, you know, some exemplars of those use cases, I think would be very valuable.
I like that idea a lot, actually. I'm looking up the GitHub repo so I can find that for us. We did get quite a few started and we kind of stalled there. Let's see what I can find here. Bear with me for 1 minute.
Carrie, if it helps, I linked the GitHub issues for the VC Ed use cases repo.
Ah, that's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you. So to submit a use case, you can follow the template that's here and just submit an issue. We also have a Google. I made it a long time ago, if I can find it here. We have a Google form that makes it even easier to do this. I'll pull that up too, unless anyone else already has that link in front of them. Let me see if I can get that pretty quick for you. Oh, here we are. So you can submit an issue with use cases in there, and you can also use this form. Just submit. So what we could do next week is start revisiting those use cases. That is a great suggestion. We could get back to those. If you have other ideas, feel free to email them to me or put them in the chat. Okay. Oh, Phil?
Yeah, just real quick. I think the use case notion is really important, and I think it's useful in that context to think about it in ways in which we can sort of have supergroups of the use cases as types, because I think one of our challenges is convincing or providing a rationale for institutions to consider something other than a single issued blob to represent the student's experience at the institution, that it's okay if there might be two or three, that gives the individual greater flexibility in how they describe themselves in the future.
Thank you. I haven't looked at these use cases in a long time either, and they may just be limited. So feel free to go outside the template if you do put your issues in your use cases and address what you think needs to be addressed for your use case. Because they might be a little bit too stringent in terms of the templating. Okay.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you all. I'm going to give us all 3 minutes back. Hope you all have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Scribes. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Carrie.
Bye-bye. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.